Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to this week's Hashtag Finance Master Show, where we will continue to dive into how AI is impacting the world of finance and accounting. And this week, we are talking about transforming FP&A, or perhaps not all of FP&A, but at least the financial forecasting and analysis using AI. So this morning, we released an article called Why AI is the Perfect Tool for Future Financial Predictions, and it's actually not that difficult. This episode is sponsored by Planful. Planful's cloud-based solution helps businesses drive peak financial performance and is used around the globe to streamline business-wide planning, budgeting, consolidation, reporting, and analytics. Planful Predict, Planful's market-leading embedded AI and ML solution, is helping to revolutionize decision-making within the office of the CFO by empowering users to optimize human judgment and harness intelligent recommendations across the Planful platform. More than 1,300 customers, including 23andMe, Bose, Boston Red Sox, Five Guys, and Zappos, rely on Planful to accelerate cycle times, increase productivity, and improve accuracy. Thanks a lot, Planful, for being with us here. We truly appreciate that. So, artificial intelligence heralds a new future with precision, foresight, and efficiency at the forefront of finance. In this today's show and the blog this morning, we will discover how AI will change our understanding of what's possible with forecasting and analysis. The expectation placed on CFOs and finance is that they should act both as a rock of stability and be a driver of transformation. This paradox means that finance needs to adapt new approaches, new tools, and new skills to enable mutual coexistence, especially when it comes to how we use and interpret data. So can AI really help us transform financial forecasting and analysis? To see the direction of travel for multinational companies, it's a good idea to keep tabs on how the Big Four auditing and consulting firms are evolving to meet technological or regulatory changes. Just as an example, earlier this year, PwC announced plans to invest $1 billion to help their tax accountants, consultants, and auditors use AI to improve the work they do for clients. I believe PwC is not the only Big Four investing significant money in upgrading the capabilities in this field. So it's interesting because firms like PwC see themselves as the gold standard on their clients. You can always discuss if they are or not. I mean, that's not a topic for this show here, but that's how they see themselves. They implement changes themselves first to demonstrate to clients the possibilities of adapting everything from office plans and IT adoption to hybrid working policies to developing sustainable office spaces. Why are they doing it? Well, it's not to replace their highly skilled staff. The aim is to cut down busy work. Maybe you have heard about this expression as well, or as the Danish author Dennis Nørmark came to call it, pseudo work, the work that we do that adds little and typically no value at all, but certainly keeps us all busy. So their people can better focus on tasks that actually need their expertise. Less admin, more value add. And I think there's a very important point and learning for all of us in this exact piece here. We ourselves are probably, you're all that busy doing things. So let's imagine a new tool, could be a simple robot, it doesn't have to be artificial intelligence even, could do parts of your work for you. Would you welcome it with open arms, or would you be hesitant because it might be taking away your job? And let's be honest, many of us have mostly been concerned so far. But if you go by different kind of research, one stat I heard was AI is going to take away 70 million jobs, not a small amount, but it's going to create 90 million jobs. So the net is a job add. Now, what's important is we need, of course, the skills to perform in these new roles. But what's been taken away first is always the mundane, repetitive tasks, the tasks we don't really want to do. So forward-thinking finance professionals are always asking themselves, okay, I'm doing some work today. I don't think it's that value-adding, but it needs to get done. Could technology do it for me? And then they find ways of doing it. Some, myself included, we perhaps just even challenge if it needs to be done at all, and then we just don't do it. We stop doing it. So there's, of course, different ways of approaching this, but aim of technology and artificial intelligence, as we are describing in this series here, is not to take away your job, is to free up your time to do more exciting work. And I'm sure today you're doing work that you are bored with and you're doing work you're excited with. So why not let technology take away what bores you so you can focus more on what excites you? I'm just saying it. The goal is to use AI technology to give the employees the tools to unlock capabilities, either shorten their day, for a four-day work week, for instance, or improve the quality of their outcomes, or ideally both. This is what PwC's chief products and technology officer said at the time they were making the investment. So you can hear it from me. You decide how much weight and credibility you give to me, but you can also hear it from these senior leaders from Big Four Consulting. Your FP&A team could change financial plans, reforecast and modify budgets in real time with ease using AI. Based on large amounts of historical data, AI is very good at predicting future financial trends. But how does it work? Machine learning, a subset of AI, involves training algorithms to recognize patterns and make predictions based on data. Predict future financial trends, AI algorithms analyze vast amounts of historical financial data, including but not limited to market trends, economic indicators, and company financial statements. So obviously, some of the data is more historical than other data pieces, but all data is in the past anyway, right? So it is historical data. These algorithms learn from patterns and relationships they find in the data to help identify correlations and infer predictions, just like a suitably skilled human being would. Clearly, one caveat is that forecasting is only as good as the data and, importantly, the AI model being used. A practical example of a company that embraced the power of artificial intelligence for planning processes is Rocket Software. They use Planful's native AI capabilities, also known as Planful Predict. It analyzes historical data and highlights anomalies where Rocket's input might not match with those historical trends. This allows for a great way to pressure test Rocket's assumptions and add value to their decision making. Planful Predict is to me like having an intelligent assistant at your side that is well-versed in domain-specific knowledge of finance, said Luis Martinez Luna, the senior finance FP&A manager at that company. It allows users to drill down to help target conversations and focus on where to investigate. Rocket is not only creating higher quality variance analysis because they have more granular data in the forecast, but they can also bring in new use cases, things like tax, treasury, and analytics without adding additional resources. And, you know, Rocket Software is just one company out of many that are using machine learning to do the forecasting. I think it was back in 2018 even, I met a commercial finance director and he had just downloaded a tool off the internet where he used that to now create the commercial forecast. So not the full P&L, but the commercial forecast. And within very short time, that was more accurate than what the markets could produce themselves. So these cases are all around and abundant by now. And of course, who wouldn't choose a more accurate forecast over a less accurate forecast? Anyone would. And then you can ask yourself, okay, so what does that mean for me? I'm not doing the forecast anymore. No, you're not discussing what the number should be. You're discussing what the number means for your company and what you should do about it. And by all means, that is where the value is added. I'm just going to open the floor here as a start. If you want to come up and share your perspectives or ask questions, feel free to raise your hand and do so now. Josephine on the stage, welcome. Introduce yourself and share your perspectives.
Hi, my name is Josephine. I'm a finance director and I'm in London. I think you're absolutely right from what you were saying earlier. I think we have to harness all new technology, help us and make sure that we're doing away with tasks that don't add value and allow us more time to be forward thinking rather than looking at historic data, trying to interpret it, what it means for the future. And I think if we stand still, then we'll be left behind in general. That's my perspective anyway. And I think just as a finance department, we should be always looking at new technology and what it can do for us and what it can ease pressures in the finance department. Because sometimes you can really get too involved in looking at lots of subsets of data. And if we can get something that is assisting us and helping us to provide information for us to analyze it and make sense of it easier, I think that's the way forward.
Fully agree to that, Josephine. I think it's just on us to start using and experimenting with these technologies. I mean, of course, now I don't think ChatGPT is doing forecasting for us, but it's just a simple AI-driven tool that we can experiment with and get some learnings in. But certainly in your finance team and the processes that we're all running, it's just great to start exploring how all these technologies can help us out. So thanks a lot for that perspective. I can see now we have a slurry of hand coming up. So I'm just going to slowly start to bring people up to the stage to allow them to share their perspectives. Roland, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute, introduce yourself, and share your perspectives. Ask questions if you have.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I like working, I'm a CFO. I've done a lot of CFO advisory, a lot of M&A. And I think one of the things that we really have to look at, and it's something that you've shared, and it's kind of a two-part. I truly like turning the monotonous where, you know, the people that work for you work 80 to 90% of the time manipulating data and getting into the form where executives can actually read it and understand and translate what's going on with the company. What I try to do is actually reverse that. I mean, are you going to get a complete reversal of, you know, 80% free time as opposed to 80% manipulating data? No. But at the same time, if you can free up more of the time, you've got people truly analyzing the business and understanding the business and then sharing their gifts wherever their expertise lies. This is what I try to do when I approach, especially a lot of the M&A work that I've done in the past in CFO advisory and really working towards flipping the, you know, the switch here and truly understanding the business and analyzing rather than, you know, head down 80, 90% of the time manipulating data to get in a form so that the executives understand what's going on. That's the first part. The second part, and I hope maybe you guys will cover this or we'll get to it, is understanding the AI component. I'm all about technology. I'm all around systems and data. Is how we can get that expertise to start programming, if you will. I see a lot of, you know, I've been reading a lot about, you know, programming it into your system, or how do you program these AI, you know, parameters and ideas and learning systems into the business that you have? I mean, I think ultimately that's probably going to be the question that I have, along with sharing my experience and what I ultimately want to do with my staff and the people that work for me.
Thanks a lot for sharing that perspective, Roland. And I listened to a podcast, I think, yesterday, and he was the FP&A today with Paul Bonders. And he had a guest there that said, you know, we're at the iPhone moment of artificial intelligence, right? So now the technology is there, and with generative AI, companies are now going to be building kind of like what apps were to the iPhone on our smartphone ecosystem. We're going to have all these applications built with generative AI capabilities and probably also more than that. And that we're only at the beginning of this, but it's definitely come in a massive tidal wave over the next months and years. So I think that's probably exactly what you're speaking about, Roland. And I completely agree. You know, when we ask finance teams what they spend their time on, 70% of that manipulating, data crunching, doing analysis part, and very little time on the actually using the numbers or something. And we need to flip the switch on those numbers. So really appreciate that perspective. What are the benefits of an AI-enabled financial forecasting? Well, almost 60% of all mid and large-sized companies still rely on the humble spreadsheet to manage planning and budgeting. This is extremely limiting when trying to use that data to do anything, because manual planning and forecasting costs huge amounts of time and in lost opportunities for innovation. Plus, it's also potentially error-prone and comes with a lot of risk. So without a central platform for forecasting, companies spend a fifth of their time allocated for forecasting, simply collecting data, and as much as a third of their time validating information, speaking also to what Roland was mentioning. So just to give more examples, I mean, IBM was an early pioneer in developing AI with its planning analytics bot called Watson. Watson's AI model offers sophisticated forecasting that gives businesses the ability to anticipate future performance more accurately, as well as make better informed data-driven decisions. AI-based financial forecasting can also bring the time spent on data analysis right down, allowing finance professionals to focus on the big picture and more important solutions. Increased efficiency directly translates into cost savings and competitive advantages. In fact, IBM says that data-driven organizations are 178% more likely to outperform their peers in terms of revenue and profitability. And I 100% buy into that, right? Because you get insights faster and you can focus your conversations on what really matters. Good practical principles to adopt for successful AI forecasting for sure. The proliferation of open source AI models, as well as models developed and offered by large tech companies like Google, Microsoft, Amazon, you name it, means it's possible to implement AI solution that works for your specific use case and requirements. As things start to change, it's important to have some guiding principles and policies in place before setting off on this journey. So gonna offer 3 points. Number one, become custodians. Embracing AI and FP&A is a forward-thinking strategy. The key to success lies in blending technological innovation with human insight. By instituting a managerial level of review on all AI-generated reports, you foster accuracy and reliability. And over time, maybe this oversight gets a bit less. This is the best practice that aligns cutting-edge technology with the irreplaceable value of human judgment. Number two, stay in control. It's not just being cautious, it's being smart. Prioritizing risk management and establishing solid controls before jumping into tests or trials ensures you have robust AI use policies and guidelines in place. By putting safeguards in place, you are setting the stage for a secure and successful integration of AI into your financial strategy. And number three, become internal business partners. Probably no surprise to this audience here, but cross-functional teamwork makes the AI dream work, you can say, if we're using a popular expression. Connecting with internal stakeholders and building strong alliances means you are not just adopting new technology, but weaving it into the fabric of your organization. Craft plans to forge trusted relationships to understand the landscape and reach the right strategy. The rise of AI in finance is creating a paradigm shift in financial forecasting analysis. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think you heard it first here, but I'll say it as well. While AI can crunch numbers and spot patterns with superhuman speed and accuracy, finance professionals provide the crucial strategic oversight, the industry knowledge, and intangible human finesse required. AI in financial forecasting isn't just a trend, and by embracing AI and its capability, businesses can stay ahead of the curve, make more accurate predictions, and more informed decisions that drive success. With that, I'm just going to open up for more perspectives. Marie, you got onto the stage. Finally, if you're here, feel free to unmute and share perspectives, ask questions.
Just wondering, because I see a lot of companies, you know, sitting on the fence and not kind of going, even though, you know, we're all talking about how it can enhance the roles. But I don't know what I'm seeing mainly in the UK is there's still quite a lot of resistance within finance departments, which I don't really get because, you know, I can really see the potential. So we're just wondering what your thoughts are on that, why companies are resistant.
I think Marie and you know, in the audience, please feel free to shout at me if you think I'm wrong. But, you know, finance people are maybe historically not the most change-ready people. So it takes a while. But, I mean, a simple answer is that's why I'm sitting here. That's why we're talking about this topic. Right. That's why I try to bring as many finance professionals into the discussion to hear their perspectives. But, of course, also share ours, because we need to talk about this. We need to demystify it. We need to ensure people that it's not about losing their job. It's about enhancing their abilities to do their job better and focus on what really matters. And yeah, I'll keep going at this. And I know a lot of other voices are doing the same. But yeah, we just need to keep pounding the message that finance people, and then they will get it.
Yeah, that's my thoughts on it, because I'm from a financial background, but I would have loved this to have been around when I was, you know, a financial controller, definitely. So thank you for that.
Marie, I've got a real quick perspective, if you don't mind, Andres. I think there's two different types of finance professionals, if you will. I think you have typically the technical accounting side, which is not really accustomed to looking at other angles or other perspectives or other technologies and really start expanding, because they're fit with the technical aspect of it. You know, the parameters between IFRS or GAAP here in the United States, and so on and so on. So they're very technical and they're in a box. And then you have more of the people, I'm more on this side, the finance and strategy side. So FP&A and technology and making things efficient, more of the operational finance side of things, or the perspective that I look at more and depend on the technical side. I mean, I think they're basic pillars on both sides. There's four basic total pillars that I believe in. But these two, the technical side of accounting, and then the strategic side of finance and accounting as well, I think are two different types of professionals that if you have those and they understand each other within an organization, that'll work well with accepting technology and accepting new strategies, if you will, AI being one of them.
Could I also add to this conversation as well? Hi, it's Josephine. I think
I'll give you the last famous words.
Okay, then I'll be super quick. I think sometimes there's always resistance to change. That's just standard. But I also think some companies, you've got to give space for people to be able to sit and figure out how these things all work into the business. And I think sometimes finance departments are so stretched that they don't have this time to be able to think how do we develop this? How do we involve it? How can we make, you know, it's chicken and egg, isn't it? Sometimes you need time to think about how to make processes easier and quicker, more efficient. But some departments don't have the time as well.
Good points, Josephine and Roland. Thanks for sharing those perspectives as well. I hope that also gave some perspective to you, Marie. We are at the end. So I hope that you will join us also next week, where we'll continue to dive into AI's impact on finance and accounting. Next week specifically, we're switching to a different part. We're switching to auditing to see how AI is impacting there. But love all the people coming up here, Josephine, Roland, Marie, and Dilshad. I'm sorry we couldn't make time for you this time. We also had Miranda and Daniel and Nisi in the queue here. Maybe I need to think about expanding the time for the show. But thanks a lot, everyone, for being a part of it. You're the ones that make this special and truly an interactive experience for everyone. So thanks for sharing your insight. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening in. And I hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?